Aircheckdownloads.com.
Well, before we come to tonight's cross question, let's hear a little of the next episode of the Ian Dale All Talk podcast. My guest this week is a true music and radio industry guru. These days, Richard Park holds a senior role here at Global, but in the past, he's been the head teacher of the music reality TV show Fame Academy, and also been a very successful radio presenter himself. He started out in radio in the mid-60s, presenting on an offshore pirate station called Radio Scotland, while still a teenager. And he told me what his parents thought about him walking away from a job at a newspaper and getting into radio instead.
They knew that I was following my passion. They knew that I was pop music crazy. I mean, they used to say to me when I was 13, 14, you know, this pop music stuff, there you are in the back of the car listening to Pick of the Pops with Fluff Freeman, who was later an employee of mine.
What are you doing? That'll get you nowhere. Nobody's interested.
Mm. And there was just the silence with my brother and I.
Because I think for people who are maybe in their 20s or 30s now, it's almost an alien environment where radio was the home service. What was the other one?
Yeah,
the
light. The light program. This is the light program. Yeah. Now Mantovani and his orchestra, you know.
And that was it. There was nothing else.
The Billy Cotton Band Show. That's where all the pop acts turned up, you know, and that welcomes the Beatles. I mean, that's where the Beatles performed initially, on shows like that.
Because in a way, it's odd, isn't it? The radio started sort of decades before that, but hadn't really evolved very much until the advent of pirate radio.
Oh, well, your political side bounces in here when the famous John Stonehouse, who became famous for something completely different, I was on holiday in Mallorca with a friend, and he dashed back with a copy of the Telegraph, and the headline was, "Pirate radio's to close. Labour government closes it down. Too much illegal activity." I mean, whether that was true or not, I don't know. Most of the businessmen who ran it had pretty good reputations and came from pretty solid backgrounds. But that was the end of pirate radio. A bunch of the pirates, the more obvious ones, the Tony Blackburns, etc., got jobs on Radio 1. The rest of us, that was it. We were out of work. I went back to the newspaper, but they wouldn't take me full-time, and that was understandable. But they would take me part-time, and I would do sports reports and odd columns here and there, and also do a few other odds and ends at the time, which led me into Radio 1 in 1969. But there was nothing else. And so in 1971, after Ted Heath was elected, one of the things they were elected on was to open up commercial radio in the UK. And so I was invited to join a group with Kenneth McKellar, the famous Scottish singer, and another Scottish broadcaster who was well known, called Jack McLaughlin. So we put together a group and applied for the license for Glasgow and West Central Scotland. But we were up against a gentleman called Jimmy Gordon, later to be Lord Gordon. We lost. However, Lord Gordon was kind enough to phone me up and offer me a position on the new station. Sorry you lost, you know, your application was rubbish anyway. And but I'm happy to welcome you into the fold. Come and join us. What would you like to be, he said. Would you like to be part-time or full-time? Because you've got a few part-time odds and ends. Because I used to do a bit of sports reporting at the time as well, which is obviously my other passion. And so that was it. So in December 1973, I was one, not the first, but one of the earliest voices on Radio Clyde. And I was given a show overnight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I was told, there's this banjo player is going to come in and sing a couple of songs during the show. And you do all the sort of things that local radio does well. Find out who is the first baby born into 1974, that type of thing. And so I did a few links in that style. And then I said, now it's time to greet the banjo player. He's down in our brand new Studio B. And to play Mary Skeffington, Billy Connolly.
Wow. And he wasn't well known at all, presumably.
He was well known in Scotland, but hadn't heard of him in England until Michael Parkinson took him on that show. But his Three Men from Carntyne and the Welly Song, that was all very much a part of Scottish culture. And I'd known him and his partner, Jerry Rafferty, when they were in the Humble Bums. They used to do live shows, and I would be the DJ who'd come on before them. And then we did a few Radio 1 clubs in Scotland together. So I've known Billy all All my life, virtually.
Jerry Rafferty, now there was a singer.
Oh, my goodness me. Some of my favourite records.
And Baker Street, I still think that is one of the best in the opening bit. That's, I mean, that is one of the classic openings to a song, isn't it?
I programmed that in a few radio stations over the years, Ian, that we would all know of. And then there was that great track Right Down the Line as well, which I know now, Generation X or Z or whatever it is, they absolutely love that track. You'll see that now on masses of playlists. But he was such a talented guy.
That's the radio and music industry legend Richard Park, who's now approaching some six decades in radio. He really is a fascinating man, and you'll be able to hear our full conversation shortly by subscribing to the Ian Dale All Talk podcast on Global Player.
Aircheckdownloads.com.